So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F-35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
Wisconsin Eye is interviewing officials on the front lines of dealing with the COVID-19 health emergency. Transportation Secretary Craig Thompson runs an agency that has had quite a few issues given with COVID-19. So I'm so glad that, Craig, you could join us to discuss some of those issues. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Well, COVID-19 hit mid-March. You guys were more than halfway through your fiscal year. Give us an overview first. Overview of the impact on DOT in the result of the pandemic and the governor's orders, sir.
Sure. Like with every segment of society in the world right now, when the pandemic hit and Governor Evers issued his emergency order in early March, it turned our world upside down. So we have about 3,400 employees at the DOT, and we immediately transitioned to getting as many of them home as possible. Teleworking, but making sure that we didn't miss a beat, because one of the things that we quickly realized during this pandemic was that supply lines and supply chains were going to be imperative. So we got to the point of 85 to 90% of our people teleworking. We got them set up. I thought it was amazing how rapidly we did. The second executive order that the governor put forward was to allow us to change the hours of operation for our trucking community and to up the weight limits for those that are supplying grocery stores from 80,000 up to 88,000 pounds. And we began to get those permits out immediately. We didn't really miss a beat. Then we had to, as time went on, we realized we needed to harmonize with our neighboring states, who we've been in constant contact with, and we went from 88 to 90,000 pounds, but then we also opened it up to other medical supplies, warehouse goods, and entities that that were important to the COVID response. And the other thing we found out was that keeping our rest areas open and operational for the truckers was going to be paramount, and we had to set up some emergency contracts in order to do that. So that was a lot of the real immediate making sure supply chains kept moving forward, and that we were able to do that. And I just have to say how proud I am of the employees at the DOT that we did that. I think just very, very successfully without missing a beat.
Craig, you mentioned the number of 3,400 employees. You've seen the furlough plans of the UW system, another giant employer. Have any of your DOT been furloughed, or will they? And if so, how much will they save, and how much pay do you think they'll lose?
Well, again, and as you know, Steve, our budget's separate from the general fund, and
yes,
we have
sir.
Our own challenges because of that. We're relying on gas taxes, registration fees, and title fees, which I'm sure we're going to get to in a moment, are feeling an impact. So we tried to move as early as we could to do some belt tightening measures, to be as smart as we could about, we've instituted a hiring freeze immediately. We've stopped expenses on all kinds of areas, obviously travel, but tried to do those. And we proactively have found and designated more, we've cut more than we believe, or as much at least as we believe we're going to need to for the shortfall in the revenue. So we need all of these employees right now. It's critical that we keep things moving for logistics, for the traveling public, and for safety. And fortunately, we have not had to furlough any employees yet.
Okay. Do you anticipate furloughing in the next 12 to 15 months, sir?
We're being as proactive as we can so that we do not have to. Okay. I don't know that anybody can predict with 100% certainty what's going to happen in the next year, but we're doing everything we can to make sure that we're able to operate as efficiently as we possibly can.
Is WISDOT exempt from the governor's save 5% over the final 2 months of the fiscal year, Craig?
Sure. So we were exempt from that because the administration was trying to be proactive on their front is to save GPR, general purpose revenue dollars. So we weren't under that mandate. But
yeah,
we proactively on our own went out and found really in excess of that amount that we've slowed down and that we've pulled back to try to avoid harder decisions in fiscal year 21.
Do you want to put a dollar sign on your savings in fiscal 20?
We believe we're going to be able to pull back in excess of $100 million.
$100 million. Okay. Now let's get into some of those numbers, Craig. When I go to the Fiscal Bureau and look up a summary of the budget that passed in summer of last summer. It called for your agency to have revenues of $2,087,000,000, 51%, as you alluded to, from the motor fuel taxes, 43% from vehicle registrations, excuse me. Are you, how big is that shortfall? I assume there's a shortfall.
Sure. And so when we look at it with our budget shop and our modeling, we're able to capture, really since this started probably the last 2 weeks of March and all of April, we've got good data for that. Yep. We don't have good data for May yet, so we will, you know, before too long. But what we've seen so far is prior to the pandemic, gas tax revenues were coming in a little above what was anticipated. Reg and title fees were coming in a little bit below. Now what we're seeing is, we, you know, it was probably about a $30 million shortfall in gas tax revenue, and between reg and titling fees, probably more in the $50 million range. So we believed that, if you want to call it conservative, we're probably going to have to need to come up with at least $80 million to have revenues match expenditures by the end of the fiscal year, by June 30th. And so we tried to make sure that we found even more in that to make sure that we didn't cut it too close.
Okay. So if your projection is $80 million, that would be more than offset from your hundred million savings, right, Craig?
Right, and because we don't know that the model with the $80 million is capturing everything, so we wanted to make sure that we went beyond that.
Okay, and your $80 million estimate includes the final 2 months of this fiscal year, May and June, correct?
Correct.
Okay, looking forward, the Fiscal Bureau summary says the agency anticipated for the next fiscal year, beginning July 1, running through June 30 of 2021, $2,107,000,000. Now, given the uncertainties, and I understand the uncertainties, but what are you now projecting you may run below that?
Well, you know, again, it's going to depend on the length and duration of car sales, titling, and gas usage. So at the height, we've been tracking very closely vehicle miles traveled and you know how much people are traveling. At the height of this, we were down about 46 to 48% of passenger vehicles miles. Truck traffic was always within single digits, again, because we wanted to make sure we were keeping that moving. As of last week, we're down about 19% on passenger vehicles, so that is ticking in the other direction. I don't have a good handle yet on what's going on with reg fees and title fees. We also, at the DMV, we weren't getting license revenue from new driver's licenses, but that's more of a timing issue. There's still the same amount that's going to have to be out there. It just wasn't coming in. So it'll probably come in a bit later. So a lot of this is going to depend on the duration of the reduction in traffic. But there's ranges, and we're doing all kinds of scenario planning. On one end, if the federal government comes through with a stimulus package, for infrastructure to get us out of this, that we're ready to go for that. Right. And then all the way to the other end, that we don't get anything to fill in for the lost revenues, and we have to live within those means, and that could be $several hundred million.
Several hundred million dollars. Well, I just want to go back because I found that stat startling, Craig. At one point, between March 15th and the end of April, passenger vehicle travel, VMTs, in Wisconsin down 46 to 48%, sir? Do I have that number right?
That's correct, on the passenger side, yes.
And now in recent weeks, that's come back to a drop-off of 19%?
Right.
Let me ask a very naive question. If people are not traveling as much on the roads, are they not going to wear out as fast? That sounds like a stupid question, but is it?
Well, you know, for a couple months of reduced passenger traffic, I don't think it'll have much of an impact on the life cycle of a road. If the truck, you know, as we know, the easels, or the amount of weight per wheel and axles on our roadways, is what really causes damage. And truck traffic's been fairly steady. It was at the height down about 9 to 10%. It's back down to about, it's been up actually in some areas. So I don't know that it really will have much of an effect on the life cycle of any of our roads.
Okay, let's look at fiscal 2021, the next fiscal year that begins July 1. Did you just say that worst case scenario, the projected $2.1 billion in revenues could be off a few hundred million? Can you be more precise?
You know, again, if we witness the reduction for an entire year of traffic, you know, it could be as much as $400 to $600 million. We don't anticipate that. I mean, we've already seen it tick back up beyond that. So I'm hesitant to throw out too many specific numbers because we really don't know.
Okay. Did you have to, I realize the cycle of lettings. The agency got some unexpected and some say one-time additional bump in revenues in this budget, which led to probably a more ambitious letting season in the spring of this year. Did you have to scale back your lettings for this construction season, Mr. Secretary?
We have not. We had planned 371 projects to move forward. Knock on wood, we've been able to stay on schedule. We didn't miss a beat, and we're moving forward on all of those. We found the savings that we needed to for this fiscal year without impacting that program or aids to the locals. Again, fiscal year 21 is going to be a whole other, you know, we're going to have to reassess at that point in time.
Right.
But we believed, you know, I really felt strongly about a couple of things. One is if we could keep these projects going, as important as it is to the economy, we wanted to do what we could to keep them on track. And we've done that, and the contractors and our folks, I think, have done it in a way that we've ensured social distancing and safety. And second, I've talked weekly with our 10 Midwestern states. We're part of a Midwestern group. Some have pulled back, and come August every year, the federal government does something called redistribution, where if there's some states that can't spend all of the federal dollars, they bring it back and they redistribute it to other states that have been able to. And so my thought is, hopefully it will put us in Wisconsin in a good position to really position ourselves well to get more federal dollars because we were able to keep the program moving.
Okay, given the uncertainties as this state's economy deals with the pandemic, have you begun to warn the governor's office and legislators that some of the anticipated projects that you want done in fiscal 2021 will not get done?
We haven't reached out and done any specific warnings on any specific projects, but we are doing a lot of scenario planning internal about what it could mean to let's next construction season if there is no intervening action by the federal government or state government. There will be impacts if that would be the case.
Would WISDOT have any other choices but to delay some of our most costly projects? I-39 finishing the Zoo Freeway. I mean, what are some potentials, and I realize you're not saying that's going to happen, but what are some potential scenarios?
Well, I will say, Steve, one of the things that we've experienced on the positive side is with the reduction in traffic that I spoke of, we've done more adaptive scheduling. We have done work that might have been done at night work that we've been able to do during the day. We've been able to close more lanes off. So something like I-94 north-south down in the Racine, Milwaukee area, we're going to be done and out of there in about a month. We're going to be done ahead of schedule and be able to get out of there. I-39-90, I do not see delaying that. We are too far along, and that's too important, you know, to the economy to be doing that. There might be individual state highway projects that we'll have to look at on a case-by-case basis. But again, we're doing a lot of that scenario planning. And then I think there's always options for the elected officials. There's things that they could do, on the revenue or bonding side to try to get us through that where we wouldn't have delays. But we would have to lay those options out for our elected officials so that they can make good decisions.
What's the timeline for you to lay those difficult options out, potentially difficult?
Well, we're meeting right now with our budget shop and all of our divisions across every area. And, by later summer, we're going to be having numbers and options to be proposing to the governor's office.
Well, you said potentially, and let's emphasize that that's conditional. Potential fiscal 21 shortfall, $400 to $600 million. What are some options? And I realize you're not recommending them, but what are some options if we have to deal with that scenario?
We could decide to delay lets, cancel lets. We could propose coming up with some of that revenue. We could propose filling in with some additional bonding to get us through that so that we don't have that disruption. That would have an impact on the economy. And we are constantly looking at efficiencies and belt tightening measures that we're doing internal to the department as well.
Well, one of the options, raising that gas tax, which I don't, 30.9 cents a gallon, which hasn't been raised since, correct me if I'm wrong, 2008. Is that an option?
I would say every option should be on the table.
Okay. Have you begun discussing options with the governor's office yet?
No, we're still putting together a lot of different scenarios for the governor's office that they can look at some of those alternatives and decide, you know, where we might want to be come fall.
You know that every legislator wants a new highway and wants a broken highway fixed immediately. How would you protect the some projects in some regions being delayed and some going forward? You're well aware of that back and forth debate.
Well, in our state highway program, we have an asset management approach that is very much data driven across the state. We've gone to great pains to explain that to our elected officials. The bump that we did get in the state highway rehabilitation program this time, we demonstrated where those 200 additional projects would come in, which would be more in year five and year four and year five of our five-year plan. But so we would really go back and look, and based on the metrics of our asset management plan, if we ever had to make delays, it would be based upon that.
The packages passed in Washington by Congress, signed by President Trump, do they prohibit states like Wisconsin from using any of that cash to backfill some of our shortfall in the transportation fund revenues?
The CARES funding you're referring to?
Yes.
Yes, I believe it does. It's got to be, my understanding is CARES funding needs to be used for proactive COVID-19 activities. There was some direct CARES funding for mass transit systems. There was direct payments that went to Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, and Appleton. Yes. And then we've got money for the what they call Tier B and C, which is the smaller transit system. So they did get funding under CARES, and we did get some funding for aeronautics. But there was no specific funding for roads or other transportation, and you're not allowed to use that to backfill lost revenues. That's, I think, part of the conversation. There was some of that in the HEROES Act that passed the House of Representatives, and That's part of what the conversation is now going out in Washington, D.C.
Well, I know you often talk to other secretaries of transportation statewide, nationally. Is there a discussion in Washington of another package that might help transportation agencies of states like Wisconsin?
Yes, what we've talked about, our national group, the American Association of State Highway Transportation Officials, we call it Backstop. And we've asked for $50 billion of that, which would do exactly what you said. It would be 100% federal with no required state match. And it would allow state DOTs to fill in for the lost revenue as a result of this. So that we could be in a position, even if there later is an infrastructure package, that we are able to keep our basic things going and have the state money to match federal dollars later on. There was, in the HEROES Act that passed the House, there was a provision like that that had $15 billion in it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know the prospects of that in the U.S. Senate are not great, but there was an acknowledgement of that in the HEROES Act, and that's something that we continue to talk with our federal delegation about.
Okay, the initial opening hope was $15 billion, and that didn't pass. So now you're asking for $50. Realistically, you see any hope that Congress and the president are going to sign off on that, sir?
Well, our initial hope was $50, and they put in $15.
Got it.
But it was a $3 trillion package, so there's a lot of other areas that could be trimmed. We believe that part is still every bit as important as it was. And we've gotten good support from our delegation here in the state about it, and so we're going to keep advocating for that. I think, you know, we hear a lot from Congress and the president about how important infrastructure and transportation is going to be coming out of this. And this is a first building block to be in a position to be able to deliver that.
Are the special interest groups, do you use to run the TDA, and are the road building interests also joining you in lobbying for that 50 or 15, whatever the number is that starts with that ends with a billion?
We've seen some outside groups weigh in Congress on numerous issues, including that one, ranging from local governments and agriculture and engineers and a lot of folks relying on the transportation industry have weighed in with our delegation in support of that.
Now, you earlier talked about aid to Wisconsin's airports. Do you think this crisis will cost Wisconsin any of its airports?
I certainly hope not. We have, you know, a lot of our general aviation smaller airports provide really a vital function in the areas for economic development. And so I'm hoping that CARES funding is going to help keep people getting through this on the airport front.
Sounds like you're concerned, though, that we could lose one or two.
I haven't heard anything specifically on that. I just know, you know, we're concerned across the board right now for everybody.
These recent changes, I was so intrigued. Okay, you can now renew your license online And I saw that very high number, 250,000 out of how many drivers would be able to go online for have that done?
So we set up two separate pilots. And, you know, honestly, our folks at the DMV had been looking at some of these anyway, because other states had been doing some of these prior to the pandemic. But obviously the necessity and the huge backlog that you're talking about really made us look at it deeply. So the first pilot is that you could renew your driver's license online without having to come in and take your vision test, as long as you're under 65.
Right.
And so we've stood that up, and we've gotten good response on that. And the second one was, in Wisconsin, if you're over 18, you don't have to take driver's ed, but you can just come in and take your test. If you're under 18, if you're 16 or 17, you have to fulfill all of your driver's ed classes. You have to pass the written test. You have to have your permit for 6 months, and then have your behind the wheel and 30 hours with your parents before coming in for the test. You still have to have all those other things, but we did waive having to come in for the test if your parent or guardian signs off on that, because we had a backlog of about 10,000 of those 16 and 17 year olds there as well. And we believe we can do that very safely. Iowa, Nebraska, there's more than seven other states that have done that, either as a waiver or your last driver's ed class, serves as your test. So we're going to be collecting that data and seeing, if it impacted safety, and we'll be looking at that at the end of the year to assess. But it is going to allow us to plow through these backlogs and continue to get that service and be innovative and make sure that we can get drivers on the road and people can get their licenses renewed.
The 250,000 people who would now be able to renew online. Here's my question. One of the, from your press release, one of the things you have to stipulate is your vision has not changed since the last time you were examined. Are there any cops on the beat to enforce that, Mr. Secretary? Isn't that an honor system?
I asked the same question when our folks initially came to us with this, and really several things. One is, our data showed that of the people that have come in for the vision test, 99% of them have not had a change in vision that's warranted any different restriction on the license. So we're statistically looking at a very, very small sample. And there's other states that have been doing this. Now, for people over 65, where there is a greater chance that you could have that type of vision change, we are saying you'd have to still come in and take the vision test. But that's also the part of the population that's most vulnerable right now during COVID. So right now, if you're over 65, we're still giving an automatic 60-day extension so that they don't have to come in right now during this to do that.
Okay, but if you're over 65, then under the new rules, the pandemic rules, do I have to call up and make a appointment for that eye exam?
You'll get an automatic 60-day extension, and then once you're through this, you're going to have to, when you're due, you'll have to come in and take your vision test to get your license renewed.
Okay, and then a friend of mine expressed concern that let's deal with somebody who's 16, having three 16-year-old grandchildren. It's a question. What's to prevent a parent from just signing off? Yes, my 16-year-old has met all this, all the legal requirements.
The only thing that the parent is really signing off on that's at their discretion is that they're comfortable with the skills of their son or daughter. It has to be proven that we have to receive all the documentation that you've had all the behind the wheel hours with the driving school, that you've gone through driver's ed, that you've passed the driver's ed test, that you've held that learner's permit for 6 months without incident. All of those things are verifiable and have to be proven. The only thing that the parent is waiving off on is if you've done all those, that they're comfortable waiving the actual driver's test. And from a safety standpoint, what we found in Wisconsin, that after we went to a graduated driver's license and there's those restrictions in all those years after, that's had a much more profound impact on safety, I think, than what many other states have. So we feel comfortable, but again, we're going to be looking at the numbers, and we're going to be, when this pilot's done, we'll examine at the end of the year where we're at. But this has been done for decades in some of our neighboring states and other states throughout the country. And we have, we believe, more rigorous safety issues in place right now than a lot of those states do.
Okay, online renewals, fewer road tests for those that are 16 to get their first license. Were these done in response to, have you had any WSDOT employees test positive? If so, how many?
So far, we have had, I believe we had recently our sixth, which was test positive. Five of those six are back working. And the sixth one, I think, is recovering right now.
Okay. With online renewals, fewer road tests, does this mean if you have to continue these exceptions and waivers, does this mean you will need fewer FTEs in the division of motor vehicles?
If, again, we're going to, at the end of these pilots, we're going to assess everything. And if this results in efficiencies that we could free that up, we will look at that as well. I don't know the answer. We've got right now the thought of you know, we're trying to dig out from under a huge backlog, and we could use even more people to do it. But when we get, hopefully world gets back to more normalcy, and we look at the results of this pilot, that's one of the areas that we will look at, whether we would still require as many FTEs or not.
Okay, thanks for your time. Almost done. Look out ahead over the next major decision points in terms of, as you look in the fiscal 21 budget, talk to me about the key things you'll be looking at as you plan going forward for the next fiscal year.
Well, if we look at the last budget, I think the increase in the State Highway Rehabilitation Program, which again, that was money going into fixing our current state highways, not new projects, not others. That's going to be key to getting our infrastructure. We had over a decade plus of a lot of neglect. And so that's really getting us moving in the right track. I'd hate to see us take a step backwards on that, because that is so important. That's going to be imperative. The multimodal local supplement program, where we were able to very quickly get money out to local governments and a lot of times smaller towns and villages that wouldn't have been able to participate before. We've gotten those dollars out the door. We really want to go out and see how that's progressing. You know, that's very important on all those local first and last mile roads. So those are some of the priorities we're going to be looking at, some of the bigger corridors that we're working on right now. And again, we're just going to have to take a look at where we're at in this country and in Wisconsin, both fiscally and what our economy is going to most need at the time.
And then final question, Craig, you mentioned potential shortfalls, potential next fiscal year of 400 to 600 million. That is 30% or more of the projected transportation fund income for fiscal 2021. Does that keep you up at night?
Well, I don't, and you know, I, when we got to that number, Steve, that was, you were saying, what's the worst case scenario? And that would be, again, a very long, prolonged, probably reduction in traffic below where we're even at right now. So
right.
I think that is, you know, that is worst case. I don't think that will be the case. But you know, all of these scenarios definitely keep you concerned, but we've got a lot of really, really talented people here working on a lot of different scenarios. Whatever the reality is, we'll be ready to meet it.
Craig Thompson, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Thank you so much for this very important update. Good luck and stay safe.
Thanks, Steve. You too.
Thank you very much.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.